This is how we're launching 2017. In prayer and fasting. Churches all over the country are doing this, all over the world, are praying and fasting for 2017. That we'll have, God will do what He wants to do in our lives personally and going forward. You know, when I think of launching, I tell you what, before I do that, let me just pray. Before I jump into our series that we're doing. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank You. As we're coming together to pray and to fast in whatever way that we can do it as each individual, whatever it means for each individual, we pray that Your anointing will come, that we would see lives transformed, we would see racial reconciliation take place, that we would see Your hand and Your grace and Your anointing come and transform this church, transform our individual lives, transform this city. And we thank You, Jesus, that we have the privilege of helping lead the mantra of racial reconciliation, of changing the culture, changing our society for the good and for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank You for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So when I think of launching, I can't think of a better way to launch 2017. Finally having a service on 2017. I guess we did on the first, but past the holiday season. When I think about launching, you know, the first thing that comes to my mind when I think about launch, I think about rockets, you know, and I think about space and those kind of things. I'm sort of intrigued by some of that. Love watching. Every now and then I like to watch some science fiction if it's realistic enough that I can grasp a hold of it. But anyway, the fact of launching something, and if you would watch this video, I think of John F. Kennedy every time I think of launching. Let's watch this in
Why some say the moon? Why choose this as our goal? And they may well ask, why climb the highest mountain? Why 35 years ago fly the Atlantic? Why does Rice play Texas? We choose to go to the moon. We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other things. Not because they are easy, but because they are hard. Because that goal will serve to organize and measure the best of our energies and skills. Because that challenge is one that we're willing to accept, one we are unwilling to postpone, and one we intend to win, and the others too.
That was 1962. Show my moon picture up there. Look at that. Men walk on the moon. Astronauts land. Collect rocks. You know, he proclaimed that in 1962, but it took till 1969 for it to happen. They did not have the technology. They didn't have the resources. They didn't know how to do it. It took a lot of effort, but they were determined that they were going to do it. And they were determined they were going to the moon. And I'm sure there may have been some Christians among the people that were researching and the scientists. But for the most part, by the strength of their brow, by the work, the hard work, they were going to make this happen. And went on to do that, ended up having 6 different lunar landings and changed history at that point. When I think about going to the moon, I think about, what is the moon for GCF Church? What was the moon for us? Back, you know, this church is going into its 27th year. Mike and Mary Beth Wisdom with Wisdom. That's a Mike and Mary Beth Wisdom. Williams. I was just speaking their grace over them. You know, I was on it. Came here 1990. Had 2 small children. John is here. He was one of those. I came as the campus minister over at ECU. Of course, I've aged out of it, obviously. No comments. Thank you.
No such thing.
No such thing. There you go. Started out as the campus minister. Met my lovely wife there on campus. Best thing that ever happened to me next to getting saved. But we came here. We had 2 other, Kevin and Luann Woodward. They were not married at the time. Came with us. So we had 7 of us. Starting the church. Shooting for the moon. What was the dream? What was the vision that was in the heart of Mike and Mary Beth and then into me and then into Woodward's? What was the dream that came? We came with a dream to have a church that would impact the city to change the world. That was the dream overall we had. We had a dream of having a multicultural and multiracial church. Thank God that David and Irene came and hang out with us at the beginning. Where would we be if not for them standing in the gap at that time? And this was 1990. Things have progressed since then. We wanted something that was going to impact young people. The university would be impacted. We had a dream. The first year I'm out there walking around, I felt like nobody wanted to talk to me. Nobody loves me. Staying away, as one guy said, they were staying away from our meetings by the crowd. The crowds were staying away from our Thursday night meetings. Finally, we broke through. Finally, we started seeing things happen. Finally, and many of you who are sitting in here now are a result of that campus ministry. I had a dream of that happening. I had a dream to reach the medical community. Things were starting to head at the medical school here. We had that dream. We're starting to see it now. I think we're reaching our moon at this point. We're starting to see that. We wanted to train up leaders to impact the society in their calling. We didn't have the resources. We want to make disciples. We didn't have the resources. Mike's working at a car wash. I'm driving a school bus. We didn't have the resources, but we had a dream from God Almighty. We had a moon that we were shooting to and didn't know how we were going to get there, but we knew we had a God who had given us the vision, had given us the purpose, and we had to stand and believe for it. Now here we are into the 27th year. Went from 7 people to a church of 325 or 340. That's about where we are now. Went from meeting in a child care center on 10th Street, smelling what you smell in child care centers when you go in on Sunday mornings. Pastor Mike's up there playing the guitar, I'm playing the bass, and we're just trying to make it happen. And then other people started arriving to help us. Me and Kevin we were unloading that PA system every week. Many others begin to arrive and begin to help us. Came in and bought, eventually moved here with the multi-purpose room. Used to be our sanctuary. Anybody been in the multi-purpose room? There'd be more renovations over there. You can, as we say down south, shake a stick at. Finally moved down here. This is a laser tag place. And there used to be a wall right across that middle section right there where the poles are. There used not to be a back entrance. There used not to be that nice front entrance. The bathrooms were an embarrassment. I almost quit coming to the church because of the bath. I almost quit coming myself because of the bathrooms. Anyway, it was pretty bad. So we rented, and God brought us down to this end. We renovated. We bought the building, 49,000 square feet here, y'all. Between office, church, warehouse space. Not a lot of heated and cool, but 49,000 square feet. We're paying for it now. Believe in God. But we went from a child care center to having this property. Better bathrooms, obviously. We've also seen hundreds of people come and be, back in those days, we used to say, restored and retooled. We came in and God transformed us. We've been sent out. We've had hundreds, if not several thousand people who have come through these doors who are now out in every area. Greenville back in those days was very transient. You come here, work for a year, still is. You come in here, you work, you get a better offer, you leave. Now people want to stay. Back then it's like, if I can get out of Dodge, I'm leaving. So there's another job. So we've had so many people come through who were fulfilling their calling and their destiny in whatever field, whatever profession they had. I mean, I'm amazed when I go down Facebook. People that I'm still connected with and how much of a blessing they are to other churches. How much of a blessing they are to other, groups. There's a couple of guys that I help mentor on campus who are pastors in other denominations. I'm amazed that God gave me the honor of helping them down their path. Not to mention people who are in all fields of work that are just amazing what God has done. We've seen God. We've reached the moon with that. We've reached our GCF moon with that. We had a heart for leadership develop and making disciples. That's what I'm talking about. that you would be all that God has called you to be and to be a leader in whatever field God has called you to be in it. You say, I'm not a leader. We are a disciple of Jesus. Once you get saved, you're a disciple. And we had a choice. And when you get saved, you have a choice. Am I going to go after the discipleship or am I going to be all that God's called me to be? And we say, we're all about making disciples. That's why we have the growth track. Because wherever you are, you're a disciple. And you're a witness to Jesus. Wherever you are, wherever location God has you. Hundreds and hundreds of people. It's really fulfilling for me who's been here the whole time to see what God, what people are doing now that they've left and gone on to different places. You know, we've had 26 campus ministers come through our church. Some long term, some short term. Did it for a few years and moved on. But 26 ministers who came and worked on the campus, been sent out. Nick and Heather Jones were sent out to Nashville. He's overseeing now the Every Nation campus, the 250 campuses. Right out of little old Green, Eastern North Carolina, impacting the world. It's always been a part of our vision. We've been able to serve missionaries around the world through our global impact resources. We've been able to send out missions. We've sent out people to go help start churches overseas. I've been on mission trips to help plant a church or scout out the land back in 1990. Subsequent years after that. Mike, Pastor Mike, mentored missionaries overseas who are starting churches. And so we really sort of got to our moon in many ways in these areas. Because that's all we saw at the time. We've seen our church become more racially and culturally diverse than ever before. We've had international student ministers. Where's Bianca? She's coming on now. She's going to be our new international student minister starting now. Come on, Bianca. She's also leading a team of 15 or 20 overseas this summer. Mark Newberg, he's leading a team to Dominican this summer. We're seeing it happen. Yeah, that's right. It's a great trip. I went on him with him a couple years ago, so I know it's good. We have a Spanish-speaking congregation that meets on Sunday afternoons. 35 or so people have a Spanish service to them. Pastor Nelson, he's not here this morning. But here again, we're reaching the diversity. We have more diversity now than we've ever had. Where's our VCM team? Stand up. I'm sorry, VCM. ENC, I can't make the transition. ENC, if you're on ENC staff, stand up right now. I want you to see this right here. Raise your support. Go on out. This is the most diverse staff we have ever had. Baby, we are all, our feet are on the moon. Nobody but Jesus. That's right, Irene. Help me. Thank you. So we had a vision for the moon. Had a vision for children growing up in church. And still serving God. Thank God we've had a lot of children that have grown up in this church that are still serving Jesus after the fact. I'm tired of hearing stories about people going up in church. As soon as they leave home, they fall away from Jesus. And I know that's a reality that some of us have to deal with. I'm not saying that. But man, I'm going to do everything in my power to make sure that we prepare young kids, teenagers, middle school teenagers, when they face the world to stand for Jesus. Of course, they have to make their own decisions, but we can do as a parent what we need to do and believe God. If you have a wayward child out there, let's believe God for them today. This is the year we can believe God that they'll come back and they'll serve Jesus with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. Let's believe God as we fast that God will grab a hold of them and say, you've got too much word in you. Miss Donna K put too much in you. Where's Donna K? Come on, Donna K. Donna K put too much in you. You're not walking away from this. I tell you what, if you have a wayward child, give your list to Donna K. She will pray them into the kingdom for you. We have more medical personnel right now in this church than we've ever had. More doctors, more nurses, whatever your field is, more than we've ever had. It is increasing. Young professionals doing an amazing job reaching out there. Just an amazing thing. Where's Ugo? who goes in the back, an amazing thing, an example he is to the medical community. We are reaching our moon after 27 years, 26 years, going into the 27th year. But where are we going now? Play that video for me.
For thousands of years, our ancestors looked at the sky, saw that red dot, and wondered what's on it. And here, today, we have the capability of actually traveling there.
We are so much better prepared today to send humans to Mars than we were to send men to the moon in 1961. This is a giant leap for mankind that needs to be done.
Together, we could push out into the solar system, not just to visit, but to stay. Which is part of a re-energized space program that will send American astronauts to Mars.
2, 1, and liftoff.
This is a point in history that we don't come to often. We have alignment of so many organizations and opportunities and partners and changes happening that are all pushing in one direction, which is towards Mars.
And these guys really believe they're going. I mean, they don't have the technology. They have some of the most insurmountable obstacles to overcome. I've been reading about this. I like stuff about Mars. It sort of fascinates me to read articles about this stuff. Nothing fascinates me more than seeing rovers up on Mars taking pictures and seeing a panorama of what the red planet looks like. Nothing about that. It fascinates me because we're seeing more of God's creation. God's the one who created it all, put it all into space. You know, NASA and this company called SpaceX, it's a private company, they believe they're going to have people orbiting Mars by the 2030s. They believe they're going to have a man or a woman on Mars by the 2040s, landing on the surface. They don't have the technology. They don't know how to do it. But they had to start with the moon, didn't they? They had to get to the moon and get that technology down to get to Mars. So one step to Mars. Now it's Mars. I mean, they got so many problems, it seems impossible. But it's not impossible to them. They believe. Much more so the children of the King of Kings ought to believe. They have fueling issues. How am I going to long trip? How am I going to keep the fuel going that long? 9 to 12 months to get to Mars. How are we going to create a reusable rocket for a soft landing? Let me explain what that is. I've learned a lot as I read. A soft landing means the rocket goes off, it goes into space, it flies around, comes back in and lands very softly. Again. Without blowing up. That's the only way you can go to Mars. It's going to be a one-way ticket for somebody, baby. I tell you, if it's just, there's no way. The physical effects of no gravity on the body. It takes a toll on the body. And they're trying to figure out what to do. This isn't like Star Wars or Star Wars and Star Trek. They can't create gravity. You know, they're walking around the ships and they're all walking just like they're on the Earth. They can't create it. They have no clue what gravity even is. That much more so try to create it. And so there's an effect on the body they got to overcome to make sure that the astronaut can at least walk after they get off the boat. Ship boat, what are you going to call it? Come on, I can try it. Not to mention the psychological effects of prolonged confinement. They're doing that on Earth right now. They got people in confinement areas for 9 months, and it's messing with their heads. How are they going to overcome this? Some people don't bother others. Can you imagine being in your bedroom size, something the size of your bedroom, unless you have a really big bedroom. But I mean, 100 square foot room for 9 months, can't leave. Even prisoners are letting them walk around the yard some. Come on. It seems insurmountable. They don't have the technology. They don't even have the resource. SpaceX is trying to start, they're trying to raise money by having $500,000 trips into space for people, trying to get the money. But boy, they are serious about it. The guy you saw in that video, he made a comment, he said, the greatest cause of our generation is going to Mars. Now, that's not the greatest cause of my generation, for me personally. But for him, that is the greatest cause of our generation, going to Mars. Now, we've benefited from this kind of space stuff. I mean, the insulation that we have in our homes has been totally advanced, way beyond what it would be because of this research that was done in insulation, because of the space program. Hand vacs, that's part of the space program. So there's been some inventions that we've all benefited from it. So here we are, Eddie. We've been here 26 years, going on 27. What does Mars for GCF look like? If we've made the moon and our limited understanding at the time of where God was taking us, if we've made it that far, what's it going to take to make it to Mars? So that 25 years from now, the next pastor, I probably won't be the pastor by that point. Unless I'm an old guy up here. Who knows? We'll figure that out later. How do we know, you know, what does it take for us to get there? And I'll be the first to say, I know God has the plan and He's unfolding it as we go. But I do know the basis for everything that we do is preaching this gospel to the world. If we don't do this, nothing else is going to happen. We got to preach this word. We got to get people saved. We got to get people discipled. We got to get people saved. Just like we got to the moon because we preached the Bible. Because we preached His word. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to understand that. Standing on this word, believing this word, going through the training. Let me just give you a listen. What does it look like for us to go to Mars over the next 25 years for us? Then we'll let somebody else deal with Jupiter and Saturn and poor Pluto. I guess they took him off as a dwarf planet now. I guess he, that's not fair to Pluto, but we'll figure that out later. We're going to believe God that we're going to have more and more impact in this city, see more and more lives saved, and more people get saved. We had 30 people baptized last year. This year is 50. Let's just keep it going. Let's just believe God that we're going to see more and more people. As we preach the gospel, as we believe this word, we're going to see more and more people saved, and we're going to get to where we need to go. I know I'm being very broad here. It would mean raising up leaders in the community and on campus. It means instead of having just a couple of professors at ECU, we're going to have 20 professors from ECU. That's what it's going to take for me to get to my Mars. I see 20 professors out there. I see hundreds of students. I see Blake having to do whoever the campus person is at the time. I see them having to have 2 and 3 meetings on campus because they kept packing it out so much every week. They had a meeting Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday night. Then they have to do a Friday night because there's so many people getting saved. That's Mars to me, baby. That's heaven to me, baby. Come on. We raised up leaders to go into every facet of society. I want to keep it going. Sending people out, making disciples. We raised up 27 campus ministers. 25 years now, Blake, we should have 100. That has gone through here. Whether it's short term, long term, whatever, 100. That's heaven to me, baby. That's Mars to me. Let me talk to you like this today. Is all right? Why don't we have 25 doctors here from the medical community? We got some here. 25, 30. That's my Mars. No matter what position, anything to do with the medical field, greater impact. Why don't we have 20 police officers in here protecting their pastor every Sunday? I need to feel safe. Man, having Mars to me, man, is 20 officers coming in here looking after me. That's what that is to me. Don't look at me that way. I've had somebody shot through my apartment one time years ago. Now that, we'll talk about that another day. But I need to feel secure. or other public servants out there reaching and impacting. It means racial reconciliation like we've never seen. More diversity, more people being sent into ministry and around the world from every race and every creed and every color. Everybody, the diverse staff that we have, that continuing, multiplying, increasing. That'd be Mars to me. Building hope, being a model of restoration and redemption all over this country. People coming in from all over the place looking at Building Hope and going, wow, give us what you got. For 15 years, is it 15 years? First James, 15 years. 16 years. But then just three men had a vision, Master Mike, Marl Esperance, David McDowell. That we're tired of talking about racial reconciliation. We want to do something about it. And give kids a hope who didn't have hope before. I want Building Hope to be a light in the midst of darkness. I mean, tomorrow's would be to me that people from all over the Southeast are coming to see what's happening at Building Hope Community Life Center. Where's James at? Come on, James, let's leave it all. He's the director. That would be Mars to me to see the greatest impact that Building Hope can make in this community. They're already making movies. They already got kids going through the program who are now successful. Instead of being on the street with the gang, they're serving God. They're moving ahead with their education. They're doing stuff. That's what the dream is for me. Instead of serving 100, serving, I'm talking about 100 kids, right, James? 100 kids every week. We're going to be to the point that we're serving thousands of kids all over the Southeast. That would be Mars to me. That would be the dream to me. World impact, missions. I may go a few minutes long today. Is that all right with y'all? I just got too much to say and not enough time to say it. World impact, missions. Sending out, continue to send out short-term missions. Those who have a call to a nation, sending out long-term missions. Getting the training they need, the discipleship they need. Planting a church out of this church in another city. Sending out a whole team to go plant a church somewhere. If not that, at least sending people. They get a phone call from somebody and they say, I'm going to go start a church here. I need a campus minister. We go, well, I got 5 campus ministers I can send to you right now. That would be Mars to me. Eddie Evans calls me from Ethiopia. My school has flooded. I got 100 children who can't go to school. I want to be able to say, how much money do you need? Eddie, I need 30 grand. Write a check without blinking an eye. We're going to feed these children. We're going to keep them. We're going to keep this. I mean, that to me is Mars. We're not in a place where we can do that now, but we, by the grace of God, we're going to get there. Having a parking lot that's paved. Come on. I've heard all the stiletto stories, I tell you. Owning the property behind us. Building a new sanctuary. Somebody really liked that. Come on, Byron. New children's classrooms. Owning this property behind us so that we can build a new sanctuary if we want to, or renovate this one. Do what we want to do. That's Mars to me. Are we there yet? No, but that's Mars to me. All I can say is thank God for the bathrooms that we currently have. I just want to... The gratitude that I have toward God and the contractor, I just can't even declare. I can't even imagine. You know, Eddie, how are we going to get there? How are we going to get there? And like I said before, I don't believe it's you have to be a rocket scientist working for SpaceX to make this happen. But it is always about the gospel. Why do we exist as a church? We exist because we want the gospel of Jesus Christ to go forward. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 17 says, if there is anyone in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. And all these things are from God who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and He has committed to us the word of reconciliation. It all starts here, the reason we exist. It's interesting to me, it says He has given us the ministry of reconciliation. He didn't say you had to work hard to earn it. All you got to do is give your life to Jesus, get saved, and you have the ministry of reconciliation. Because the first part of reconciliation is man to God. We keep the main thing, the main thing. We got to Mars by keeping the main thing, the main thing. We're going to get the moon, excuse me, we got to the moon keeping the main thing. We're going to get to Mars by keeping the main thing, the main thing. We preach this gospel. We disciple people. We raise up leaders. We transform society. That's how we're going to get this. Since we've been given the ministry of reconciliation, that means every one of us, from the cradle to the grave, have been given the ministry of reconciliation. Then it goes on to say, He has committed to us the word of reconciliation. And some the literal says there, He has put it in us. He has placed in us the word of reconciliation. In other words, it's not something you have to dream up. It's already inside of you. It's who you are as a Christian. You are the person who has been given the place within you, the word of reconciliation. We get people saved. We believe God to transform society. We believe God to heal the breach between men and women of all races, creeds, and colors. And because it goes on to say, therefore we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were making an appeal through us, we beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made us who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. When we internalize and understand the mission that each one of us has as ambassadors of Christ, as ministers of reconciliation, man, I believe there's nothing we can't do with faith in Jesus. Because we're always going to be looking not to ourselves, we're going to be looking to the world around us and the needs that are out there. And the opportunities that God gives us going forward, if we internalize this, it's already in us. He's already placed this reconciliation in you, this ministry. You know, some of us are, maybe you're in a job that you can't really talk about your faith. But still, who you are means you've got to walk in an integrity as a Christian. You might not can say anything, but people still know you're a Christian. They know you're different. They know there's something about you in that day. And believe in God, y'all can give you the open doors and opportunities. Let me read this to you. This is some of the same passages out of the Message Bible. Sort of a Message Bible is more like street language Bible, I guess you could say. He said, all this comes from God who settled the relationship between us and Him and then called us to settle our relationships with each other. God put the world square within Himself through the Messiah, giving the world a fresh start by offering forgiveness of sin. God has given us the task of telling everyone what He's doing. We are Christ's representatives. God uses us to persuade men and women to drop their differences and enter into God's work, making things right between them. Wow, that's a mouthful. We're speaking for Christ Himself now. Become friends with God, He's already a friend with you. Not quite sure how they translated all that, but I like the way it sounded anyway. I think going forward in 2017, we need to embrace the ministry of reconciliation to God and to man. I believe we need to believe God to increase the amount of people that are baptized this year. I believe we need to believe God to double the amount of life groups that we have. We need to believe God more people get trained and discipled. Everyone needs to have somebody in their life. If you can't get involved with any of that, get involved in a life group. If you can't do that, find somebody you can meet with. Get involved with somebody so that we can disciple each other, who can mentor each other. so that we can have somebody that we can talk to. We have a variety of life groups and different things that are taking place. Please jump into those. If you can't, like I said, find someone you can meet with. As a congregation, we need to continue to build our three major outreaches that we have here in this church. Hope Together Sunday in the fall, Easter coming up in April, and then we have our Kids Fest in June. That is our three big outreaches to the community. We all need to jump on board, grab as many people as we can, and believe God. One of those meetings last year, we had 9 people raise their hand to get saved. I think it was Hope Together Sunday. We can do it. We can see God do some amazing things. We're going to continue to work toward racial reconciliation in 2017. More of that's coming. We're praying, we're talking, seeing where God leads us about. We're going to be giving you more information about it as time goes on. Individually, need to believe God. Let's believe God to invite someone to church this year. Let's believe God that we can, that He will give us an opportunity to share our faith with somebody. Maybe you just need to set a goal. Once a month, I'm going to believe God, I'm going to get a chance to witness to somebody. Or I'm going to get a chance to pray for somebody. All of us in different venues, or I'm going to have a chance to help somebody who's in need. Set some goals for yourself of how you want God to use you this year, and go after it by faith. Maybe I'll start a prayer list for your neighbors. It all starts one-on-one. The only way we're going to get to Mars is to start right here. Maybe you ought to get a list of people to pray for, your neighbors, your family, friends, co-workers, people that you believe in God to get saved, that you know needs Jesus. Make a list of those people and pray for them. That's something you can do right now. If we hold to the fact that we are ministers of this gospel, I believe we can go wherever God wants us to go. The kingdom of God, it's all about the kingdom of God. That's why it didn't bother me. We sent people out who pastored in another denomination. It didn't bother me at all. I'm like, thank God we had a part in the kingdom. And we have a role and a responsibility in the kingdom. You know, next week we're going to continue on in this, and it's going to be more about personable, launching you personally. Today I'm talking about I've been very broad. We're launching the church. We're launching in 2017. We're launching where we're headed. Next week we're going to bring it down a little bit more about your launch. Where God is taking you this year. Where God is going to take you in your launching of your life. Where he's already got you in place, where he's taking you at. We're going to be talking about that a little bit more. But you know, when I was watching all this stuff about SpaceX, this company that's out there, the video, they had the brightest, youngest rocket scientists and engineers I've ever seen. The older NASA, a bunch of old guys, they slip over to these guys. Man, they were just like cutting edge. And they have had some good days and they've had some bad days. One of their bad days was they were trying to figure out how to, this whole soft landing with a rocket. The rocket took off, went around, they're all standing around watching something they've been working for months and months on, because the only way to go to Mars is have a rocket that could be landed and take off again, reused. The rocket came down, they're all standing around, and it landed on the pad and it blew up. And man, they were in shock. You all saw the camera panning them. They're all just in shock. Some of the ladies started to cry. Some of the guys looked like they were about to cry. It was a bad day for them. It was not a good day. But then months and months later, they did it again. I wonder how many millions of dollars blew up on that launch pad that day. Millions. I probably can't even count how high. Anyway. But they came right back again. Let's see if we can blow up another $500 million thing. But they wouldn't stop. That 500, whatever, millions was not wasted because it told them what they couldn't do. Told them what they couldn't do. And then it showed them again months later, and that rocket came down. And it landed, soft landing. It went off and it was standing there. The whole place erupted. They were screaming, hollering, jumping up and down. They had seen the first major hurdle and going to Mars. They had whooped it. You know, we're going to have some rockets that we're going to have to figure out in the next 25 years. But we're going to do it by the grace of God. We're going to believe God to see what happens. I wish I could give you hard fast. I know everything is going to happen and how we're going to do it. I know that we serve a God who knows. I know we have a God who's more than enough to meet every need, to provide everything, to see the kingdom of God. If we keep the main thing, the main thing, if we preach this gospel, if we make disciples, we will impact this city. If all I'm interested in is us having a good, ooey-gooey, nice, feeling movie show here on Sunday mornings, I'm going to quit. If that's all it is, but that's not what it is for me, I want to go to Mars. I don't even know what Mars is, but I know we're going to shoot that way. I can see it in the sky. Do you notice how closer to the moon? You can really see the moon. The Mars is a little bit further away. But I'm going to shoot for it. Let's shoot together. Let's have faith together. Let's believe together that we can see God do some amazing things this year, starting this year. Let's believe God that we're going to see just a radical move of God on our young people, our teenagers, our college students, the community people, marriages being restored, lives being transformed, racial division melting in the presence of the Holy Spirit. Let's believe God for that this year. I'm going to pray. Baby, come on up. I'm going to pray. I'm sorry I went 10 minutes over this morning. But I had to get it out this morning, I tell you. Next week, what does Mars look like for your life? We're going to talk some more about this in the coming weeks. You don't want to miss this series. We have a good time here at launch. You don't want to miss it. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for what you have done. Thank you, just as you're not done with me yet, you're not done with the church yet. GCF Church. Lord, as we go to the next place, as we're looking to impact society, I pray that each person in this church would know they have the ministry of reconciliation. Let them know how important they are. Let them know they're just not a knot on the log somewhere. They are an important, critical part of this church. In whatever venue they're in whatever place God has them in, whether it's an engineer, or whether it's a stay-at-home mom, or if it's a student, or whatever may be the case, use them for your kingdom. Use them as an ambassador for this society, for this church, but mainly for the kingdom of God. Use them as an ambassador. Have your way, 2017. Have your way, oh mighty God, as we look to you, the one who gives us breath, the one who raises the dry bones, as was talked about earlier. You be the one, Jesus, that brings it about, and you bring it about your way. Thank you for it, Jesus. Can we all stand as baby Jesus in a song? Together.